Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this July 14th, 2025. Have your host, James, here, welcoming in the studio one of our favorite people. We have Kathy McGrath with us. Her husband, Pat, is also here. Thank you both for being here. We appreciate the time.
You're welcome.
Yeah. We're going to be talking with Kathy about monarchs, and Kathy, of course, is our local monarch expert. We've talked to Kathy many times about this. I feel like, Kathy, when we get together, most of the time, it's to kind of highlight an event coming up, and we're going to wrap up with a great event coming up. But oftentimes, we're really focusing on events and promoting that along with other things. Today, we're really going to just dive into monarchs and talk a little bit more about that. I'm really excited about that.
Perfect.
But I come to you, Kathy, and I say, I do, thanks to you, but let's say I didn't know anything about monarchs, and I'm just really interested and really intrigued by this. Where do you begin?
Well, I can talk for hours, but I'll try to limit it today. Usually I talk about the life cycle of the monarch to begin with, and the stages that we go through with the monarchs. So basically, when you are starting out, the monarch starts out as an egg. It is teeny, teeny, tiny, actually the size of a pinhead. And it's kind of off-colored white, more of a cream color. And if you know what an old-fashioned lemon squeezer looks like, it actually has ridges on the side, but you don't see those with the naked eye because it is so teeny tiny small. But Pat and I go out hunting for monarch eggs, and people say, really? That's an egg? Because they are teeny, teeny tiny. And I've got one here to show James.
Yeah.
They're a little white dot. And so when we find an egg, we bring it in and take off the whole leaf that egg is on and then cut a little circle around it, because if we're collecting eggs, we can't keep all these great big leaves. Within 3 to 5 days, a tiny caterpillar is going to emerge from that egg, which there is one in there. You need really sharp eyes to see it. So when I was teaching kindergarten, it was helpful with the eyes of the and 6 year olds. So it's in the egg for 3 to 5 days, and then out comes that teeny tiny caterpillar.
Kathy, I think you should probably tell them too, one of the reasons why we do this.
That's true. You tell them.
Basically, the population of monarch butterflies has dropped since 1990 by about 80 to 90%, and a lot of it is because so much agriculture is now Roundup ready. And years ago, milkweed would grow in cornfields along with the corn. It doesn't anymore. And then pesticides and herbicides are a big problem, because she found out one time when I was in Washington at a meeting, and she collected a bunch of caterpillars at a friend's house down by Petenwell. And that night she called me and says, well, there's green tracks all over the bottom of the aquarium. And I said, where'd you get the milkweed? Oh, by a potato field. I said, oh, they spray.
Yeah.
Huh. And everything in the aquarium died, all the caterpillars.
But anyway, this helps. In nature, 5 out of 100 become butterflies. Uh-huh. We get about a 90% turnout. So it's helping them.
Very much. Thank you for that, Pat. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
And one, just piggybacking on that a little bit, we've heard a lot of, it's been a good thing to see on the rise, the information and saving our bees and talking about our pollinators, what we just did in May, and having our yards grow a little bit longer for our pollinators and some of this. Butterflies, a monarch in particular, is a beautiful butterfly. This story is, I think, almost one of the more common stories to know in insect culture and some of that. All that being said, I don't think that we know nearly enough about them, and I don't think, to lean into the importance of them and how important they are in the insect food chain, if you will, and pollinating in so many of these things. They're not just pretty to look at. They are a hard working butterfly. They're a hard working insect. They do a lot of good for us.
Correct. And of course, the only place that you're ever going to find a monarch egg is on milkweed. And so that's the other part of the whole life cycle, that you have to have milkweed if you're going to have monarch butterflies. So we are a monarch waste station, our home is. and we have milkweed growing, different kinds, and we also have nectar flowers because you need both. So now when we've been releasing monarchs, and we've released probably 250 or so already this summer, they're looking at the nectar flowers because that's what the butterflies need. Mm-hmm. And milkweed itself, the caterpillars eat the leaves, but the butterflies need the milkweed blossoms. And right now the milkweed is blossoming. And if you've ever smelled the blossoms of the milkweed, they are really...
just like lilacs almost.
Very, very, smell really well. And so that's part of the thing. So from egg to butterfly is about a month.
Okay.
They're in the egg 3 to 5 days, then they become a caterpillar, and they go through 5 instar stages where they shed their skin and get bigger. And then when they're about the size of your little finger, they're ready to make the chrysalis. And the difference between a chrysalis and a cocoon is that moths come out of a cocoon and butterflies come out of a chrysalis.
Huh.
So when I was reading Eric Carle's book, The Very Hungry Caterpillar, to the kindergartners, and at the end he says, and out of the cocoon came a beautiful butterfly. The kindergartner said, he said it wrong, because they knew that it was a chrysalis. And they said, we need to write to Eric Carle and tell him. And I said, I think he's probably already known that. But a good thing for children to learn that adults don't know everything, and we all make mistakes.
100%. I love any opportunity like that. That's a great story.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
So once the caterpillar makes the chrysalis, it's in the chrysalis for about 2 more weeks. And you can tell when the chrysalis gets dark, like this necklace that I'm wearing, when it gets dark like this, you can tell that the butterfly is going to come out in a few days. Usually probably 48 hours from the time you first see it dark like this. And when the butterfly emerges from the chrysalis, it hangs on that empty shell of the chrysalis, which is actually transparent. It's the color inside, but the chrysalis itself is transparent, and it will hang there and just pump its wings until the wings are all folded out perfect.
When it comes out, the wings are the size of your thumbnail. And then in 2 minutes, they pump fluid in, and then they're fully, but they're wet. So that you have to let them dry for about 2 hours before you release them.
I would always teach the kindergartners, if you put your two thumbs together and then put your fingers down, the thumbs are like the abdomen of the butterfly. And when the butterfly ecloses, when it comes out of the chrysalis, those wings are all tight. And the first time I ever witnessed it with my own eyes, I'm like, oh, something's wrong. And then all of a sudden it starts doing this, and it just takes... you know, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes.
I don't think that long. It's quick.
It's quick. And they're all just perfect. And then it will just sit there and keep doing that for a long time. So the first time I actually witnessed the whole thing, it's just, it really gets you hooked.
I can only imagine.
Yes.
Just hearing you talk about it makes me want to do it. That's great. I'm curious, though, Kathy, when it comes, I didn't hear you mention when they go through the voice change or it's awkward for them to talk to. No, that was me. That was my childhood. When it comes to this point in the evolution of this of the monarch and everything, this is where for a lot of us as fans of these butterflies and everything, it gets to a really exciting point for them. But they're just getting going, really, as a butterfly here.
Right. So the ones we're releasing right now and throughout the summer, they're only going to live 3 to 5 weeks. They don't live very long. So when we're releasing them, we say, go find a mate, and female lay lots of eggs, because she can lay up to 500 eggs, one at a time.
Wow.
When we're out hunting for eggs, if we ever find a leaf that has 2 eggs on it, we say, double header.
Nice.
Oh, awesome. We're so excited.
That's great.
And we are always, usually on gravel or dirt roads. He's on one side, I'm on the other side. We are very careful when we're out hunting because of poison ivy, wood ticks, wild parsnip, all kinds of things. So we wear long pants, we wear long sleeves, even when it's hot like it was yesterday, cover our heads. Don't put on any kind of insect spray on our hands, because we don't want that to get on the leaves that we're picking the eggs or caterpillars off of. So it's a whole process.
Yeah. And when it comes to one of the things that I wanted to touch on with this as well is for you, Kathy, how long have you been doing this again?
I would say 30 years.
Okay, so it's been quite a while for you to do this. While I know that for people listening, Kathy really knows her stuff and sounds so confident with these things. I know that last time you joined us, or maybe it was a time before, had somebody say that they found it interesting and they would love to try something like this. When Kathy started out, she was just starting out too, and just learning and everything, and would encourage people to get in on this, to both of your points, and really the point of so much of this and everything. We can't have enough people out there doing this. We can't have two, you know, there's, we could always use more people.
Correct.
Caring and being a part of this.
And it's all about education, and Pat and I do a lot of presentations for different groups, and we have people to our driveways, because earlier this summer in June, one day we had 67 butterflies that he closed. And I'm like, we watch it all the time. We should share it with other people, but we don't know what's going to happen 2 weeks down the line, so we can't set it up. So I just put something out on Facebook, sent out emails to customers that I know, and we had people show up in our driveway, and everyone just get so excited, adults as well as children. And we teach children how to hold a butterfly so that you're not going to hurt it, and, you know, give a short synopsis of the whole life cycle. And people really do get hooked. And that's what helping the monarchs is all about, to educate people.
It's while we welcome everybody, and certainly, you know, adults, retired people, anybody out there, the more we can get kids involved and get them interested in this,
exactly,
they grow up to adults that care about this. They grow into seniors that care about this. It's so vital to this process.
Correct.
It's great to hear.
It's better for them than watching their phone or iPad or whatever. Yeah. One thing I wanted to say is that the library in Rapids probably has a video. It's called The Flight of the Monarch, and it's a great video because it highlights when they first discovered, back in about 1975, that the monarchs wintered in Mexico, and talks all about that. So it's really a good educational, and I think kids would love it.
I was watching this whole interview. I want a little bit of credit. I've been able to focus on the interview the whole time while there's a caterpillar rolling around. I thought you knew that was doing that, Kathy. Oh,
I had it in this container and it got out, I guess. But this happens all the time at our house, because when I'm cleaning aquariums and I can't watch everything. So we've had caterpillars make chrysalises on our kitchen cabinets, underneath the kitchen table,
lots on the of wall in the dining room.
Yes.
And living room.
Awesome.
Yes. Fantastic.
I'll just put it in there so it doesn't go too far.
Was there anything else you wanted to touch on with this, Kathy, or you want to move on to the community picnic?
How much time do we have left?
Oh, we got time. Okay. We got time.
Well, I think you could talk about the ones that we've sent tagged in late August.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'd love to hear about that.
Yes. So the ones in late August into September, those are the migrating monarchs. They are the ones that aren't going to stay in Wisconsin. People say, how do they know? Why don't the ones in June go to Mexico? Well, there's usually three different
generations
of monarchs in Wisconsin. So we're on the second generation right now. So Pat and I were out hunting yesterday. We came home with, I think, about 100 eggs and maybe 50 caterpillars of different sizes. So these yet aren't going to be, they'll be close. Depends on when they eclose, if they're going to be migrating ones.
The ones in late
August,
late July, would be the ones that would be the start of the migrating group.
So then we tag those, and how we tag them, I brought this to show. there's a little sticker that goes on the lower wing on the discal cell, which the kindergartners knew all that terminology. And then we have a sheet where we record all of that information, and it's sent in to Monarch Watch. So we have to put down the number on the code the sticker, when we released it, the date, and whether it's a male or a female. And I just gave Laura a little lesson on that, so she can give it to you. And where we released it from. And we have gotten certificates at least, I think, 9 times that one of our butterflies released in Port Edwards was found in Mexico. This one was found in El Rosario. It traveled 1,712 miles. And we think it's pretty unbelievable that any of ours have ever been found, because in Mexico, there's millions of them down there. But the proof is in the pudding, because this is all sent in to Monarch Watch in Kansas City, Kansas. And they put it into a database, and then we have to check the numbers. So we have gotten certificates.
People often, you know, wonder, how can they travel that far? And one, the little critters are tough. And a lot of people don't realize, they look at a butterfly, but if you look at a butterfly's wings under a microscope, they're covered with scales just like a fish, which gives them flexibility and strength. But the other thing is, with the change of the seasons in late August into September, the location of the sun has changed, and the jet stream switches. So the jet stream during the summer is from south to north, but in the fall, winter, it's north to south. And what they do is they'll get up thousands of feet and they'll ride the jet stream. So they're not expending a lot of energy. And they'll cover 100 miles a day easily. And then they'll, you know, find a tree at night and, you know, rest, nectar up and stuff. And that's the other thing is, that's where problems arise sometimes. Like Texas right now is getting inundated with rain. But there have been a number of years when it's extremely dry. And monarchs need water, moisture, to metabolize their fat. And there were years where it was so dry in Texas, they died there because they couldn't, they had enough fat on them, but they couldn't metabolize them. So.
That's really interesting, Pat. Thank you. So parts of that, I think a lot, some of us might have known, and I would recommend a lot to piggyback on what you were saying about the movie, the Monarch movie.
Flight of the Monarch.
Yes, it's a great movie. Yes, award-nominated movie, actually.
Yes.
When it, I just recently saw The Americas, the docu-series that was on, and wonderfully narrated by Tom Hanks, and they had a segment on monarchs in that.
We saw it.
Oh, did you? Okay. It was really well done. And some footage like I did not, I have not seen before on that. So I have done a bit of homework on this, and I've thought about this a number of times. And Pat, I don't know if I've heard many people describe their flight much very often, like better than you just did, the details that you put to that. All that being said, in 2025, with an endless budget, I couldn't do this. Like, get from here to Mexico. No way. You'd never hear from me again. Nobody know where I was going. It's still impressive. Even hearing all that, even hearing you talk about it for years, Kathy, and me and you, Pat, hearing what you did there, it's still so impressive to me. And I think, like a lot of people, whether it's subconscious or not, one of the things that we look at with the animal kingdom, that we get from the animal kingdom, certainly everything we've noted about the food chain and you know, what they do for our food and so much of that, the inspiration that they are, the inspiration that that an insect can bring, that it's, I don't know about anybody else, but perspective is a very important thing to me. And I know that I'm feeling grumpy, or I'm having a rough day, or things are not going right, or I feel like something is impossible, and I think of the monarch, and I'm like, okay, yeah, you know what, I can handle this. This isn't so bad. I spilled the milk, big deal. I'll be okay. I'll wipe it up, we'll be fine. I don't have to fly to Mexico. I don't, you know, there's certain things that it just, I think that these insects, these animals do for us even deeper than all the scientific things that they do for us.
Right.
That's really interesting.
And when I've given people a chrysalis in a jar, like I gave to Laura, you know, they'll call me and they'll say, that was so interesting to watch. And they're like, you know, they'd never witnessed it. And when you can witness something and see it with your own eyes, and that's what was so great about kindergarten, when they had free play and they could do anything in the room, play in the sandbox, build with blocks. If I had that aquarium there, that's where all their little faces were pressed against, watching and, you know, telling me about what was going on. And one time I had a mom in there visiting, and one of the little boys, who usually wasn't paying attention to what I was doing because he was watching that aquarium. Mm. All of a sudden he said, one's coming out, one's coming out. And then we all went and watched, and pretty soon it was flapping its wings, and he said, it's a boy, it's a boy. And so the mom said, how does he know that? So they explained to her, and she's like, is that true? Mm. You know, and this is the thing with children, with adults, if they see it, they remember it, and they learn. Mm-hmm. And that was just such a wonderful thing to do.
What a wonderful thing about that. Also part of that is when kids can teach parents, when kids can teach adults stuff. That's mm-hmm. the awesome. That's wonderful. Yes. I appreciate yes. that, Kathy. To that point as well, I want to thank both of you, and you in particular, Kathy, for your years of service in our education system, along with continuing to do that. I don't know if Kathy knows she's retired. I don't know if she... I don't need to tell you, Pat. You know better than I do. But I really do appreciate it. And so much of the great, I mean, you think about what you yourself have spun off for so many individuals and so many passion, the passion of this, and then think about how many more butterfly, how many more monarchs we're going to be able to protect or save or even just have born thanks to that awareness and so much of the work you're putting in. And certainly you too, Pat, and I appreciate that
yes,
as well.
I couldn't do this without him because... It is a whole lot of work. And yesterday when we were out in the heat hunting for 3 hours, he said, when we die, they'll probably find us in a milkweed patch. Because we get so tired and we're older and our eyes aren't as sharp and we just don't bend as easily.
Be safe out there, but thank you very much for the time. And Pat, that was good. That's a funny line. That's good. Before we let you go, let's talk real quick about the community picnic that is coming up at Alexander Park. This will be happening in Port Edwards on Tuesday, July 22nd, 4:30 to 7:30. They even have a rain date set up for July 23rd. I love when they do that. They do that. I think they've been doing that every year. Yes. They set up that lane. They're really good at that. It's going to be free admission, fun for all ages, food and entertainment. If you've been to the community picnic before, you know what these are. They're always a lot of fun. They're going to have a great, the fire department's going to be down there, I believe, and they'll be also a part of this. The car show lineup will begin at 4. The Port Edwards Jazz Band's going to be down there at 5:30. Love those guys, great band. And the butterfly presentation will be down there, Kathy. That's going to be fun. What can people expect with this?
Well, we're hoping that we will have all different parts of the life cycle of the monarch to show, but we can't guarantee because we deal with nature. Mm-hmm. So if we have eggs, caterpillars, and some butterflies to release, it will be great. I've got lots of handouts for adults and children, and they can just come and talk to us about monarchs.
And maybe as we've been talking about this, and you're like, James, you didn't ask her about this. Well, now you can ask her. You can go ahead and ask her. You
right.
can be at the presentation and ask and find out more about this. Also encourage you to be, if you're going there, to find out if you're interested in volunteering or finding out more about this so you could do similar things to Kathy and Pat here. I know that I'm mentioning this because I've heard from listeners before, but also my own mother, who has been very adamant about that. So I will have to make sure to get make sure that she shows up for this event, and she's at the community picnic. And thank you again for the time. So the community picnic will be again going on July 22nd, 4:30 to 7:30. This will happen at beautiful Alexander Park in Port Edwards. They're also going to have bingo, raffle and car show winners, burgers, hot dogs, beverages all down there. King Cone going to be down there with their truck also. So be sure to check that out. Have a great time and enjoy the butterfly presentation at 6 again at the community picnic. Before I let you go, Kathy, if people wanted to reach out to you in particular, is there any way to do that? Go to the Facebook page?
Yep. I'm on Facebook. They can reach out there. They can call me. They can get information from you mm-hmm. if they want.
Yes.
I have email address, phone number, anything. I'm always willing to talk to people.
Feel free to reach out anytime, everybody. We'll make sure to hook you up and get you in contact with Pat, Kathy. And thank you again for the time, Pat, Kathy. We appreciate you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And thank you to all of you out there for joining us for another edition of WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Cock and Septic here at WFHR.com.